This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
It's week 7 of our Daring Faith series. I'm so pumped. We're getting into the home stretch. We're over the hump, halfway point. And today, we're kind of getting down to some brass tacks, some nitty-gritty on what daring faith looks like for us. So if you would turn your Bible to Romans chapter 6, if you got the paper kind or the electronic kind, either one, Romans chapter 6 is where we're heading today. Before we get into the meat, while you're turning there, let me invite you tonight, if you have the time, the ability to come and join us, we're going down to the river to pray. We're not going to get in the water, though, or it's a little too chilly. We're just going to pray. But tell you what, there's something significant for me. The Lord brought us down to the very beginning of where our city started, and we're going down to the very roots where Lewis and Clark camped, right? Where Pony Express, Jesse James, all those big guys, and Abraham Lincoln, and all the parade of historical figures. This is where it all began. And so I think there's something very important about going down to the roots of our city and just asking God for his blessing on what we like to see happen in our city. So tonight at 5 o'clock, we're meeting a little early because it's getting darker early. We noticed that. So we'll be down here at 5 o'clock tonight, and we've got a real interactive way for us to pray over our city. So I think anybody of any age would enjoy coming down. It's only going to be about an hour, so do some worship, do some prayer, and significant time. We've done this before. We've gone down to the river and done a symbolic gesture just of kind of putting our feet down and saying, Lord, we're here. What do you want to do? So come tonight if you can. 5 o'clock, we'll be down there at the river. Also, a reminder, this Thursday night across the parking lot, Casting Crowns in town. Love that. Benefit for the Pregnancy Resource Center. So if you can enjoy the music and enjoy a great cause too. And then I'm super excited about next Sunday. We've got a young man who contacted me and said, Pastor Tim, I'm going to be in town. Wondered if you'd want me to share my story. And I'm like, are you kidding me? He visits us whenever he's back. His name is Daniel Castle. Many of you know who Daniel is. Daniel was an SJC grad, graduated a few years ahead of Zach, and went on from here to the United States Air Force Academy, became a fighter pilot, has flown over 60 combat missions, and now is an aspiring runner. And Daniel, 2 weeks ago, was at the games in South Korea in the 1,500 meter, ninth in the world. And Daniel is running to St. Joe next weekend, and he'll be right here sharing his story. Super pumped about that, man. So what a great opportunity to invite some people to come. I'm telling you, his story is pretty amazing, and it fits right in with our Daring Faith campaign. Here's a guy you think, wow, he's such an impressive guy. Wait till you hear how he got where he is. It's kind of like sad, you know, it's like everybody goes through stuff. Isn't that encouraging to know that it isn't always easy, that sometimes it's difficult? And just as Daniel is, you know, demonstrating how today it looks fabulous, but how he got where he's at is an amazing story. Next week, we're going to share that with you. So I hope you can come back and be with us. I had a chance to be with some soldiers this week over at the 139th Airlift Wing for Clergy Appreciation Month. And I tell you, it was really humbling for me to meet these men and women and to know the sacrifice, the dedication, the commitment that they put in, and their families pay right when they're deployed. Only 1 week since 2001, September 11th, only 1 week has there not been deployment from this base. Think about that. Huge commitment. And we're going to talk about commitment today. Daring to commit. What does it look like? If you say, yeah, I'm all about that daring faith. Okay, well, guess what? Commitment is a part of that. You're not going to get there without some commitment. Daniel's not going to get to the Olympics where his goal is without some commitment, right? And the same with us. If we have aspirations in our life to see God move in a more dramatic way, life is made up of the commitments that we make. That's really what life comes down to. You become whatever you're committed to. You know, great people aren't born. Great people are made by the decisions that they make along the way. That's how greatness comes. It isn't bestowed on you. It's something that you intentionally work and gain ground toward as you make commitments. We aren't naturally born great. It is something that we make a decision as we obey, as we follow God along the way. And to me, the great men and women of God got that way because they lived for a cause greater than themselves. That's what drives us to make good decisions, right? If it's all about me, then I'm going to take the easiest path. But if there's a bigger commitment, a bigger dream, a bigger cause out there than my own satisfaction, my own desires, then it drives me to make commitments that naturally I wouldn't without this greater calling. The key is to make good commitments, and that's what I want to talk about today. Let's look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. If you've got it there in your Bible, or if you want to read it off the screen, I'd like to read this together this morning. Romans chapter 6, beginning in 13, let's read together. Give yourselves completely to God, every part of you, for you have been bought back to life, and you want to be tools in the hands of God, used for his good purposes. Good stuff. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. You say that your word is living and active. It's a surgeon's scalpel. Lord, it comes in and it separates, it divides, it shows us who we are. We just don't want to leave here the same as we came in today. So, Holy Spirit, would you take your word and invest it deep in us? We look at ourselves in light of your word and we say we're the ones that need to change. So show us today what you would do, how you would have us respond. In Jesus' name, amen. See, life is made up of two, I guess you could say, you know, instructions from God. There are two causes, two purposes that we live for. That verse here says that we live for God's purposes, for his good purposes. Jesus gave us two. We call them the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. The Great Commandment and the Great Commission. What was the Great Commandment, Jesus said? The greatest commandment is to what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That's all one, right? That's one commandment. Love the Lord your God and your neighbor. And then the Great Commission is what? Go into all the world and make disciples. Those are the two great purposes. Honestly, that's why we're here. That's the reason we have a church. How many of you know there are other things we could do on Sunday morning, right? But there are two purposes, the command and the commission of Jesus that he left us with, that we feel are a cause greater than ourselves and worth investing in, worth committing to. That's the purpose of the church today, the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. And from those, today we're going to look at five different instructions. If we're going to live a life of commitment, a life of greater purpose, a life of greater dedication, living for something greater than ourselves, then five instructions on how we get there. You might want to grab your note sheet in your worship guide and pull that out, and let's take some notes this morning. He wants us to know him, to love him, to grow in him, to serve him, and to share him with others. We call that spiritual maturity. To the degree that we're able to do that effectively, that's what it means to be spiritually mature. So if we're going to make these commitments, here's practically what they look like. Number one, to strengthen my faith, I must unite with others in worship. Unite with others in worship. One of my favorite verses, Isaiah 40, verse 31. I'm sure you know it. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's a great promise. Waiting on the Lord. Choosing to do that, choosing to get together as the body on a Sunday morning, worship the Lord. You know what? That doesn't come naturally to anyone, myself included. Sleeping in is way too tempting. But if I wait on the Lord, his promise is he'll renew my strength. How many of you would say I need some strength? I could use, you know, it's like Sunday mornings for me are like jumper cables on the battery on that cold morning. This doesn't want to start. And God brings us together, and he infuses us with power as we wait on him. As we choose, as we commit to come into his house with his people, and he meets with us. Man, I felt the Lord's presence today. I was energized. I was ministered to. Love these guys. I mean, they have been working their tails off this week. You know, the secret's out. We got the best worship team in town, so people want them. So this week they were at Fields of Faith at Phil Welch on Wednesday while the Royals were playing. That wasn't really exciting for them. But then last night they're on the gravel out in the country, you know, playing at some pig roast for these crazy people. It was so fun to watch because I don't think people knew quite how to handle worship in the middle of barbecue. I don't know how that, it was just like, they just weren't quite sure, but it was awesome. And of course, today they're here with us, and tonight we're at the river, and we're working them hard. But here's the thing is God is investing in us as we choose to lay our gifts and talents before him as we choose to come together as a body like this corporately. And we worship him. He promises to meet with us. And that's worth me getting up for. I mean, that's way worth that. You know, this morning when Zach talked about sacrifice, and I agree with that. But to me, it's not a sacrifice to give to God because of what he's given to me. I mean, I know I get the better end of that deal. Coming together, it's going to cost me something. I got to get up and get here early. But I'm telling you what I receive is so much greater than what I ever give out. And can I say this too, that when we get together, it's supposed to be enjoyable. Church isn't supposed to be a duty or an obligation. Yeah, sometimes it feels that way. But I hope when you come in the house, you enjoy being here. Once you get here and you see your friends and you enjoy each other, and you know, this is the best bunch of people on the planet right here. Greeting time is my favorite time. I always try to find my bros, right? And I grab them, and if they let me, I'll give them a big old smack and, you know, just kind of hang out with you guys. I love that. It's an enjoyable thing. It says in Psalm 100, verse 2, worship the Lord with sourness and come before him with depressing grunts and groans. No, singing with joy. Come on now, I don't care if you can carry a tune or not. We love to hear you. Jesus loves to hear you. It's awesome. You know, I can't wait for the day when we're in a little bigger container, you know, because I just want more people to be able to enjoy this time in the presence of God that is so rich for us that we get to enjoy every week and definitely worth coming together to worship him. That's one commitment. Number two, to discover my identity and purpose, I must connect with others for fellowship. It isn't just enough to be together and worship. You know, if you notice here, we're kind of all facing the same direction. You're all looking at me. Well, that really isn't fellowship, right? If this is the extent of, if Sunday morning church is coming and listening, all sitting in rows, facing one direction, not facing each other. See, that's not what fellowship is. Fellowship is connecting with one another on a relationship level. There are some things you'll only learn in relationship with other people. And the truth is, in Romans 12, verses 4 and 5, it says, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from Christ's body as a whole, not the other way around. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. But as a chopped-off finger or cut-off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? No. If you've ever stubbed your toe, then you know what I'm talking about. It's like every part matters. When I teach this principle, and I've taught this particular, you know, concept because I'm a body of Christ guy, I know that we need each other. Even outside of Restoration Church, we need the other body members too, right? Other parts of the body. This is not the only church in town. It's the best one. No, I didn't say that. It's one of the good ones, right? We need each other. We just do. You will never hear me talk bad about another church or pastor. Never. I don't care whether I think I've got a right or something, a genuine grievance or not. It's not going to come out of this mouth because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I'm for the body. I'm not going to cooperate with the butcher of the body. Who would that be? That's the enemy. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. So don't let that kind of stuff come out of your mouth, and I'll get on you. If I see you talking that way, you know, I promise you. Even if you've got something, I would say you give that something to God, and you be for the church, because this is his bride. And fellowshipping together as the body of Christ is what we're supposed to do. It's how we're called to live. You can't live an isolated life and call yourself a Christian. You can't do it. It's not possible. When I teach this, especially with kids, I've got this awesome little prop I found. Halloween is the best time to find props, right? And I found this severed hand with an arm that has like blood dripping out the back of it, and it crawls on its own, like battery powered. It's great. I wish I could have found it today. I would have showed you. I use it a lot because it's just so creepy. And that's what a disconnected body part is. It's creepy, right? It's nasty and gross. And if you cut off your arm and you lay it to the side, guess what? It's going to get a little funky after a while. It just is. It's going to start stinking, and you don't want to be around that. And that's how we are disconnected from the body, though. We think we got it all together and we can handle it. You know, people say, well, I just worship the Lord at the fishing pond. Well, wonderful. That's great for the fish. But I tell you what, here's the deal. And if, you know, I'm kind of a diplomat, so I try to say things in a way that people will receive. Like, you know, well, Maybe you don't need us, but we need you. So I'm being diplomatic. Maybe you don't need us, but we need you. What I really want to say is you need us. You can't do this alone. You're an idiot if you think you can. The enemy loves it when you isolate yourself because then you get picked off. I've told you this story before. Gosh, I shouldn't even go here because it'll take too long, but I was hiking a few years ago, and I was up in the high country of Wyoming. I love to hike, and was up by myself. I was with a small party, and we kind of took a day trip and went off alone. We were way up, you know, and the only people up there that we ever saw were sheep herders. So one day I was hiking and began to rain and thunder, and I was in this rocky outcropping above the tree line, and I knew that wasn't a good place to be with lightning. And I saw this pile of fur and bones. It was the weirdest looking thing I ever saw. And it was like these rocks all around me. It looked like some scene from a satanic worship movie, right? It was like these rocks like Stonehenge, and then this pile of fur and bones. I'm like, yeah, I'll be getting out of here now. You know, it's like, so I hightailed it to some trees and waited for the rain to pass. And while I was waiting, I heard sheep. And then next thing I see, there's this big wave of wool coming over the hill. It was awesome. Like hundreds of sheep. And this sheep herder on horseback. Whoa, it was like Marlboro Man, you know? And his dogs, you know, the little dogs. And it was so fun. Like, I get to watch these dogs work these sheep. And so I'm watching. They come down the valley. And pretty soon, about three sheep break off from the wave. And they come running right out in front of me. And the dogs come chasing him. I thought, well, this is really cool. Get to watch this in action up close. And they couldn't see me, but I could see them because I was in the trees. And I watched these dogs. And instead of getting in front of the sheep and pointing them back to the herd, they were chasing them further away. I was like, something is not right here. And they were like nipping at their heels. And I said, I don't understand this. And the sheep found a rocky outcropping not too far away, and they ran for that and got into these cracks so they get away from the dogs. And the sheep herder's yelling and screaming a few choice words up on the hill, and the dogs, you know, barking at the rocky outcropping. Next thing I know, I hear the shepherd say this, go to hell. Called the dogs back. The little wave of sheep go up over the hill and gone. Oh, my gosh. So I watched. A few minutes later, I see little black nose peeking out from the rocks, right? And then these sheep come bolting out into the middle. And you could just see their little sheep brains. It's like, oh, crap. Where'd everybody go? You know? And they took off in three different directions. And then I knew why I saw bones and fur. Because these sheep got separated from the flock, and they were picked off. They were animals, hungry animals up there. And they were dinner now. And it taught me such a lesson about the church, about how we need each other. And that sheep herder who was supposed to have a heart for the sheep, you know what? He was not a shepherd. He was a hireling. Those weren't his sheep. You could tell because a shepherd would never say go to hell. Those are his sheep, man. And what's up with those dogs? Can I just say that I see people in the church sometimes who are supposed to be helping herd sheep, and they're acting like nippy little dogs instead, biting and chasing people off. We won't be that church. We understand that fellowship is important. We understand that we're a body and that we need each other. Ephesians 2:16, Christ brought us together through his death on the cross. The cross got us to embrace, and that was the end of the hostility. Without the cross, connection is not possible. See, we can have friendship, we can have social clubs, but the cross makes all the difference. The cross makes us family. The cross allows us to connect even when there's difficulty and challenge. See, I believe this, in the body of Christ, divorce is not an option. So why do we often take that option? You know, I'm not saying there isn't a time sometimes when God leads you on, but there's a way that happens. There's a right way. And I've not seen the right way too many times. I mean, as a pastor, one of the things that breaks my heart the most is when people just leave and you don't know why. They never talk to you. They just take off. And, you know, you feel like, what did I do? What didn't I do? And you've poured life into them, and it's just like, there are some times when challenges arise, and I understand that, you know, God moves people. But, man, we're all one still, right? I love it when people come here and they come from another church, and I love the look on their face, because typically if they've got a bone to pick with their previous church, I get to hear that. So I'm like, you know, Pastor Joe is my friend. We pray together every month. Did you know that? In fact, I'll tell him that I saw you. That'll cut it off real quick right there. See, that's helping get ahead of the enemy's plan to divide and conquer the body. Because we are members of one another, not just here in this church, but in the church, the Big C Church. That's what we're a part of. It includes all races, ethnic groups, languages, tribes, and tongues. That's who Jesus brought together through the cross. Every person. Tell you what, if you don't like diversity, you're going to hate heaven. Because there's going to be all kinds of people there. Every nation, tribe, and tongue. That's who he bought and brought together through the cross. Everybody is not going to look like you. And that's my prayer for this church, man. I just like, mix it up, Lord. Mix it up big time. I had a dream years ago that our church was as big of a mix of ethnicities and gender and age and race and language that you can imagine. And I loved it. I remember in my dream there was so much joy. It just was like a big party. And I was having so much fun. And that's my dream. And that's Jesus' dream. That's his church that he bought and paid for. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, "Now God had reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us," given who? Us. "The ministry of reconciliation and the message of reconciliation." So much division right now with politics, with race, with gender. Some people making a living off of it. You know what I'm talking about, right? People who perpetuate division so they have a job, they have a purpose, a reason to be. Telling you, Jesus died to get rid of that stuff. So let's not be perpetuating it. This week I had a post. I actually had a dream this week. And in my dream, I was assigned the duty to protect the president's children, his family. And I was like, whoa, that's a cool dream. And I woke up and I remembered it and I thought, I wonder if we prayed for those in authority as much as we criticize and post about them, if maybe the world would be a better place. And some ding-dong replies on my Facebook, "Well, I'll never support blah, blah, blah." So you know what I did? Delete. See, I have that power. I can just delete. Because it's the enemy that comes to divide and to accuse. I'm not saying we have to agree on everything. I'm saying we have to be biblical about everything. I could preach another message there, but I better stop. Number three, to develop my potential, I must learn from others to grow. I've got stuff to learn from you all. See, there are things that I'm not naturally gifted at, that I need help with, that I need to learn, I need to grow, and God's using you and me. The scripture says, and my tattoo bears it out, iron sharpens iron. That's what I got that for, not just to be cool at 50, but because it's my life verse. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We sharpen each other. You can't get sharp alone. I tell the guys I speak to, your wife can't sharpen you. She can just gnaw on you pretty good. You need other men in your life. That was a joke. Thank you. Obligatory laugh track. Other men in your life to sharpen you, guys. You can't do it alone. You're a fool if you think you can. Ladies, you sharpen each other. Knitting needles, I don't know what it is, but I know that that's what we do. We sharpen each other. We help each other grow. Ephesians 4:16, Christ's body fitted together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. I would highlight that word in your scripture because that's the point. God wired us to need each other so that we might grow. Apart from that, you're going to be stunted. You're going to be developmentally challenged. If you're living an isolated life, that this means you're not going to be growing. Romans 14 says God's kingdom isn't about eating and drinking. It's about pleasing God, living in peace, and experiencing true happiness. All this comes from the Holy Spirit. I think that's something that people would want to be a part of if they saw that lived out. See, in our culture, instead, we're success-driven. We're all about success. I'm not against success, neither is God. But listen, true success doesn't satisfy. Success in the natural, success in the means of pursuing of wealth and power and things. It's not that that's an evil thing in and of itself, but you were made for more than success. We were made for significance. See, that's where real happiness comes from. Success is okay. Significance is better. Significance is knowing what you were created for and living that purpose. It comes from giving my life away to something greater than myself. That's significance. So I've seen people with lots of money who don't live significant lives. I've seen people of little means who live incredibly significant lives because of their impact on other people. That's significance. That's investing my life in something that will outlast it. Point number four, to experience this significance, I must serve with others in ministry. I must serve with others in ministry. Now, listen, take off your religious hat. Ministry is not a funky word. We're all called to ministry. Ministry is simply this, definition of ministry, doing good for other people. That's all ministry is. So we're all called into ministry. Raise your hand if you're called into ministry. So here you go. I deputize all of you. Bam, you get the funny hat and everything. Because God doesn't see a separation, young and old, men and women, clergy, laymen. That's not it. We're all together called to do good works, to benefit the other person. We said it early on, right? Greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God, to love your neighbor as yourself. My job is not to do the ministry. My job is to equip you for the work of ministry. I do some, yeah, but I'm not the only one. We do it together, and we're so much more effective when we do it together. Heard yesterday about a lady in our church who fell. You know, she's going through chemo, fell and hit her head, and I couldn't make it, so I called Kay. And Kay had told me a week or so ago, hey, if you ever need somebody needs a visit, let me know. Kay was on it, man. She was up there last night at the hospital. It's like, that's it. It's the body ministering to the body. That's what it's about. We're more effective when we work that way. Significance does not come from status. It comes from service. It comes from doing what you were created to do. Each of us have a different gift and calling. When we do that, then we're a better body. You know, I love my guys like Brad. You know, it's like he's a cowboy guy, right? So there are guys that are going to look at Brad different than they look at me. I'm the lily white preacher kid, right? With clean fingernails. It's not Brad, man. He's got dirty fingernails. It's like, he can weld steel. Come on now. It's like, I know that I can have men who can relate to Brad different than they relate to me, than they relate to Ross. It's just, that's the way it works. And that's the beauty of the body. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you, does that include everybody? I think so. Each of you has received a gift to use to serve others. Be good servants of God's various gifts of grace. See, the gifts and talents you've got aren't for you. In fact, if you don't express them by giving them away, they go to waste. They're to be used, employed, given to other people. The folks sitting next to you right now are a vital part of your life. You need the gifts and talents they bring, and they need yours. My dream, the dream church for me, is nobody just coming and sitting on a Sunday, but every person engaged at whatever level they're called to be, giving away what God has given them. If we don't, Mark 8 says this, if you try to keep your life for yourself, what'll happen? You lose it. But if you give your life for my sake, Jesus said, and for the sake of the good news, you will find true life. We're supposed to do life in a certain way, together. That's the way life is meant to live. Live together. We're better together. You're meant to serve God in a family, in a small group, in a church body, not isolated. And when you don't, we miss out. We miss out on the gift and calling of God that's on your life. There's not one person here in this room right now that doesn't have a significant part to play in this body. I don't care how old you are. Man, I long for the day when our little kids, I mean, you know what? Kids have a gift of faith. I remember when I was down at it's not a synagogue, but I went to see, you know, the rabbi last month, and he had a four-year-old young man pray for a lady with cancer. And his unbelieving dad, who's Jewish, who's a physician, so think of all the complications that brings in. Physician, unbelieving, Jewish, comes home and the little boy says, "Dad, I healed a lady of cancer today." There's a conversation starter. Four-year-old boy had no problem believing Jesus could heal that lady of cancer. No problem at all. Let the little children lead us, Lord. Because they don't know they can't. Right? Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two people are always better than one. Because by working together, if one falls down, the other can help him up. But it is bad for the person who is alone and falls, because no one is there to help. If two lie down together, they can share the same blanket and stay warm. But a person alone will not be warm. An enemy might defeat one person, but two people together can defend themselves. And a rope that is woven of three braids is hard to break. From this verse, I see three benefits of working together. Let's look at them real quick. Number one, we maximize our impact. We get more done. Second benefit is we minimize our failures. It says the other one can help him up. Because you know what? There'll come a time when you're going to need somebody. That's why you better have relationships now. You don't want to wait until you're in a place of need. You get connected now. Third benefit is we pool our resources. We share what we have. Whether it's a blanket or whether it's any opportunity to serve each other. See, God designed us to work this way. And life works better when we do it the way he instructed. Matthew 25, 40, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did for me." See, that's why this matters. I fantasize, right? What would it have been like to live in the days when Jesus was alive? To walk with him and to serve him and hang out with him. And then the Lord says, "Hey, knucklehead, you are. When you do it to the least," see, my definition of least has changed. Least doesn't mean the least significant. Because every person is significant in God's eyes. Every person. Come on now. I'm telling the truth. I go down to the Y and work out. I know you can tell. And there's these homeless people. I mean, they're everywhere down there. And I look at these men and I'm just telling you, my vision is changing. I think being downtown has changed me. Because I'm in people's lives now that I wasn't in their lives before. And I look at the college students. I was in Missouri Western about a month ago, walked into the lobby of the student union, and I saw these college kids, and I'm like, I want every one of these guys and gals. I just was ready to go grab them all and bring them down here. It's like, I want them. If that's our heart, what about the person that's really struggling with a sexual sin? Do we want them? Are they welcome? We say that. Until somebody walks in your life that freaks you out a little bit. See, that's the test. Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you've done this unto the least," I don't care who they are, how young, how old, how hard to get along with, how offensive that might be to you, how are you going to respond? The least of these, you've done it to me. And I feel convicted when I hear that. How about you? That means every person I encounter, I get the chance to be Jesus to. It doesn't mean I'm going to preach to them. It means I'm going to be kind to them. It means I'm going to love them. It means I'm going to accept them. It means I'm going to tell them the truth when I get the opportunity, but how do I do that? In love. Isn't that what it says? Speak the truth how? In love. Not with a brick bat. To be kind. These homeless fellas walked in here a couple weeks ago at our Wednesday night group. It's like, it was a test for me. And I did my best to stand up tall and put my big boy pants on and be a brother to them. One fella I could tell, man, there was a brokenness about him. His name happened to be Tim. So we had something in common. He was Native American. Before we left, I gave him a big hug. Said, man, come back. Love to have you here. See, I just think Jesus is waking us up to something. We can make a real difference in people's lives if we dare to engage. Final benefit of making a commitment is to make an eternal difference. I must join with others on mission. We are on mission, whether we realize it or not. Church, I can't tell you how I'm full to the top and overflowing with vision for what God wants to do with this place. But I'm telling you, it's not about a building. The building is just a necessary means to reach the people. It's an opportunity to have a place for folks to come, but what are they going to find when they get here? Fancy stuff? Well, who cares? What they need to find is hearts of flesh, compassion, people who care, people who are living beyond what their own little world, you know. When we lived in Colorado Springs, it was a military town, so all the families were constantly coming and going. There wasn't a real sense of community. So what happened was at night, everybody kind of drew their shutters and closed the drawbridge and lived in their castles. And I realized then how important it is that we get outside of our walls and begin to touch the community. That's why it was awesome that our team was at a pig roast last night, you know? It's like, play music for folks who are like, I've never heard this before. But they were sowing seed. They were showing them that people who love Jesus are pretty cool people to be around. We get that chance everywhere we go, in our workplace, our schools, our neighborhoods. God has a mission for your life, and you can only do it in context with others on mission. That's how we do it. It says in Matthew 28, go, make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to do everything I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you. You don't think Jesus is with you on mission? When he says, what you do for the least of these, you do for me, guess what? He's right there with you. The one who took off his clothes, literally stripped naked, practically, took a towel and some water and scrubbed his disciples' feet. You don't think he was modeling what the greatest is? The greatest is the servant of all, man. That's what we have been called to model, is that kind of walk. It's the reason we exist. God's purpose for history, listen to this, his purpose for history, the reason we are here is God is building a family. And you're in it. I hope. If not today, you can. You can be a part of the family. But it's not just for us. It's for the prodigal that's still out there, living in the pig pen, not even daring to hope, to dream. There's a home for them. But the person who's had their life ripped up by divorce or incest or abortion or whatever it is, random garden variety sin. We all get into it, right? It's all a cheap substitute for the genuine. What's the genuine? The family. Brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, aunts and uncles, grandmas and grandpas. Church, can we be that? Could we dare? See, that's what daring faith is all about. It's not about just me and making me be something special. No, it's because we're called on a mission. And without that mission, we live just mundane, simple, pointless to me. I don't see a point. If there's not a purpose, I'm not interested. He's building a family. He wants your purpose to be a part of his big purpose, which is to create family, to not only receive the good news and become part of his family, but to help spread that message to others so that they can as well. I think that the unique opportunity we have as a church before us, I realize I'm biased. See, I'm supposed to lead this, so it's okay to be biased. But I don't think I'm just cheerleading here. I think there's something in the heart of God. It's like a challenge. It's like, what did we read earlier? God said, test me. Isn't that what Malachi says? Test me. God's like, listen, I got a big mission here, if you're up for it. I was working in radio, working at the pinnacle of my career. 30 million people heard my work every day. And one day the Lord said, listen, well, I've let you live your dream for you. How about interested in mine? It's like, whoa, I don't know. What's it involved, right? You're skeptical. I'll tell you what, man, I'd rather be doing what I do now and living from my heart than having all kinds of accolades from people, but not feeling like I'm making a significant impact in people's lives. I think this church has a significant call. I think there's a reason why we're here in this unique location, in this historic building, you know? I think that God's got something up his sleeves that is so much bigger than we understand. It's going to take a lot of resources to see that dream realized, and so a part of this Daring Faith series is a campaign that we're launching. And a month from today, I'm going to ask you to dare to commit. People get nervous when you talk about money. And I'll be honest, it's not going to take a small amount of resources to do what we need to do to get into that room. But I kind of just tell you this as your pastor and one who loves you. If the resource thing scares you, if asking you to make a commitment financially puts fear in you, then don't worry about it. Because you've got more important commitments to think about. You need to work on the five we just talked about. Because when you've given your life to God and you understand that you're a part of a mission that's so much bigger than you, and you're living for people belonging to this family, then resources like time and money is like, that's small potatoes, bro. I don't want to even worry about that stuff. So when I do worry, then it kind of tells me I better kind of go back and check the first five. That's why this is an important message today, because we can't move on. I can't ask you to make a commitment financially if these other five are not solid, because you'll always freak out. I want you to really take these five things and just rest in them this week and pray through them and ask God to show you. Is there one of these areas that you're calling me to step up in? Because when I give you the challenge to commit to the Daring Faith campaign, then the amount of money or the amount of time it's going to cost, it will be immaterial to you. Can I tell you this? I don't care what the need would be. It is minuscule in the sight of an almighty, all-powerful God. Nothing is impossible for that God. So why do we get freaked out when things appear to be so big? Because we forgot the first five. That's where the problem lies. Today on your way out, I'm going to give you one of these. It's just a little vision card that we had printed up. And Randy's got those at the back, so grab one of these. And this is something you can begin praying over. It's got some information on the back. It doesn't go into a lot of detail, but this is really meant for you just to begin to take in, to put before your eyes. It's fun on the front. I've got a picture of the old natatorium and a picture of the new one. Right? It says, history discovered, destiny realized. Love it. Take this and just meditate on it this week. Ask the Lord to put a vision, a dream in your heart. Because I tell you what, no matter what dollar figure I put on it, without a vision or a dream, we're toast. Children of Israel going into the promised land, 12 spies, right? How many of them saw giants? 10. How many of them saw God's vision? 2. See, I mean, vision people are in the minority. It's a lot easier to see the giants because you're looking with your natural eyes, not with the eyes of vision, not with the eyes of God's view of what he wants to do. So that's what that card's about. I want you to take that with you and ponder it this week. The point is, will I trust God? Will I make a commitment of my life, then the stuff of life is not an issue. When I've dedicated my life to a cause that's greater than I am. Over the next 4 weeks or so, we're going to give you the chance to make that commitment to the Daring Faith campaign. If you notice the logo we're going with, it's on the front of your worship guide. It's this surfer guy, right? It's a real practical picture here in the Midwest. You know, we have a lot of surfing here. Surf Lake Contrary. It's like, why would we pick that logo? Well, real quickly, you know the story of Peter on the water, right? Peter's in the boat. Jesus comes. Oh, you know, everybody's freaking out. It's a storm. Peter has the tenacity. If I were talking to men, I would say another word right there. Peter has the tenacity to get out of the boat and walk on water. But what happens? He looks around at the wind and waves and begins to freak out. And then his feet start slipping beneath the surface. And he starts to sink because he got his eyes off the mission. He was walking on the stinking water. People give Peter a hard time because he sank. I'm like, he's walking on water. Come on, you know. Give the guy a break. But he got his eyes off the target, which was Jesus, and he got it on the stuff. See, if we put our eyes on the stuff, what it's going to take to see this vision happen, we're going to sink too. I'll tell you what, we're in the boat right now. We got in the boat. This is a little boat. It's like, awesome. But I think God wants us to walk on the water. And you know, that's what that used to be right in there, right? Big water hole. But it's not just enough to walk on water. Because see, I don't want to get back in the boat. I want to keep walking. And if you walk on water long enough, baby, you're going to make some waves. Because you're now influencing the situation, not the situation influencing you. Come on, that's good preaching right there. You should be clapping and shouting and jumping up and down and waving hankies at me. Situation will influence you, or you can influence the situation. When you have the heart of God, you're called to take that heart into the situation, not look at the obstacles and the things that are opposing you. You take the kingdom into that. That's why we're going down to the river to pray tonight. We're making some declarations. We're claiming some ground. We're taking a stake. We're going one step further. We're going further in. I want to be the guy that not only walks on water, but makes waves. I'm not backing down. I'm moving forward. And yeah, there's obstacles. There's giants. Is that going to keep you out of the promised land? That's your call. In, a week from Tuesday, we're going to get together here and have some din-din. It's called the Vision Banquet. I'm going to invite you to dinner on a Tuesday night. We're going to do it right here in this room, and love to have you come. I'm going to just ask you to pitch in $5 to help cover the meal, so we're not, you know, we're just going to put it up there and have fun together. But I want you to come, and I don't have a lot of time on a Sunday morning to go deep into a lot of detail. So if you're a detail person and you want to know the nitty-gritty, Chad and I will break it down for you. We'll tell you what the campaign's about, what we're hoping to see happen, and how you can be involved. So it's Tuesday, October 27th, 6:30 p.m. These are $5, and they're at the information desk out there, and I would love for you to have one before you go today. We're limiting this to 60 people, though. So if you want to be among the 60, you need to get out there quick. Grab your ticket before you leave. A few other things coming up, just to give you a heads up how this campaign is going down. There'll be three waves of giving that we'll see happen. I love it. Three waves. First wave, the leaders. The leadership of this church is going first. Just like when the priests stepped into the Jordan, they had to step their feet in. The leaders had to go first, and when they did, the river stopped flowing. The people passed on dry ground. Our leaders are going first as an example to the people. That'll be November the 8th, okay? The next wave is the kids. November the 13th at our Family Fun Festival. Family Fall Fun Festival. Can you say that fast real time? Family Fun Fall Festival. November the 13th, it's a Friday night. We're going to have a blast. It's going to put hay bales in there. And rumor has it that Pastor Tim's going to get dunked in the dunk tank that evening. So got to get well so I can get pneumonia again. All right, so there we go. So come out and join. That'll be a blast. It's not just for kids. It's for everybody. It's the family. It's all of us together. It'll be a lot of fun. If you want to help out with that, by the way, talk to Don and Joni Vesser. And then on November 15th, that's the Sunday. That's the Big Give Sunday. One big offering. That's the plan. Now, that weekend, we've got some special guests that I'm just so pumped to have with us. Pastor Juan and Kim Duvalier from Miami, Florida, will be here with us. And what's crazy is we've known Kim for years. We worked with Kim at Impact Productions down in Tulsa, Krista and I did. And she was a single gal then, one of the coolest gals I'd ever known as far as spark plug for God. And then she marries this Cuban hurricane of a guy. And many of you have met Pastor Juan. You know what I'm talking about. She outshines him. I just want you to know that. So that weekend, Pastor Juan and Kim are with us. She'll be meeting with the ladies that Monday night. It's going to be an awesome weekend. We're calling it the Big Wave Weekend, baby. So we've got the festival on Friday. We've got Pastor Juan and Kim with us on Sunday and Monday. And that weekend is when we'll make our commitments, not only to the big give, but a three-year campaign to see us get into this room and see God's vision move forward. That's where we're headed. And I'm super excited about it. And I'm really pumped to have you with us on the journey. But today, let's bring it back home to you. Because these commitments we're talking about, see, it's not just about a building, not just about this work. It's about your life. It's about what God wants to do in you. Because you are the one he's called on mission with him. You are the one he's called into his family. And my desire as your pastor is to see you released and all that he has for you. So stand to your feet if you're willing to go. If you're ready to ride the wave, get on your surfboard. I've thrown a lot at you today, but I wanted to give you a flyover of where we're going, encourage you about what God's doing, and then challenge you that I think the best days are yet to come. Really glad to have you on the journey. Why don't we pray together? Would you close your eyes? Spend some time with the Lord here this morning. Father, I thank you so much for vision, for faith, for the opportunity to know you and to love you. There's a lot of stuff going on. We don't want to get hung up on the stuff. We want to just be sons and daughters. Lord, I pray that today you would take these five commitments that we've talked about. Holy Spirit, drill them down deep in us. It's like, you know, we want to go to bedrock and we want to put pilings down in that bedrock. I think you want to build something in our lives. We can't build on shifting sand. That's going to be gone, you know. Next wave that comes through, next wind, next storm, it's blown away. We want to build on bedrock, Lord, the bedrock of your truth today. So God, I'm asking that Holy Spirit, you this week, build upon these words we've shared today. Show us, God, where we might be on a little shaky ground. Impress upon us the importance of being a part of a family, bringing our gifts and talents together, God, serving others, worshiping together, living for a purpose greater than ourselves. And God, together as a congregation, we just say we are totally dependent on you, that apart from you, we can do nothing that will last. Father, today there are people here dealing with stuff that feel like they're being battered by the storm. And I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, you be an anchor to their soul. Just see yourself putting down that anchor on bedrock this morning. Feet firmly planted. I just tell you this, I promise you this. When you plant your life in him, you'll be disappointed. Is there anybody that has a specific need that you want prayed for today? Just want to just pray as a group. And if you have a need in your life, you're like, I need some stability. I need those anchor points, those commitments solid in my life. Would you just slip your hand up and back down real quick so I can see who I'm praying for today? Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate that. Lord, do you see the hands today? You know the needs. Believing, Lord, for miracles to happen in the lives of men and women who dare to step out as Peter did. Thank you for putting us in the boat, but Lord, there's future beyond the boat for us. There's opportunity to trust you in the midst of whatever the storm is that we're going through right now, whatever the turbulence, whatever the fear factor is that's trying to spook us and get us to cower and lean back. We say, God, that's not your purpose for our lives. That's not what you created us for. Thank you that we have a family together and that together, Lord, we're walking. We're daring to get out of those places of hiding. We don't mind being exposed, Lord, as long as we know that we're walking with you. Because no weapon can be formed against those, Lord, who belong to you. There is no storm that you're not greater than. There's no challenge or issue that you can't handle. So adjust our perspective today, Father. Help us encourage one another and keep walking. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit RestorationSTJ.com, or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.